720 WGN. Hi, it's Tom Chicago, Allstate Skyline Studio. It is Dane here with you until 5 a.m. in for Nick D. Tom Hush, the Quiet Storm. In the booth, and to my right, Dino, to very right, Shotgun. And on the line with us, we're going to ask him a lot about Lollapalooza, but also, too, is a recurring theme that you can add to as well. 312-981-7200, your most dangerous toy that you've ever had. Mike Heidemann, got to give him a proper introduction. He's one of our great producers here. He's the host of Sound Sessions Podcast, a music aficionado who not only talks the talk, but also walks the walk. You can see him in and around Chicago at some great venues, singing his way into your heart. Mike Heidemann, welcome to WGN.
Dane, it is great to be speaking with you. And by the way, most dangerous toy, definitely the Pog Slammer back in the day. That was one of the
Pog Slammer. Oh my gosh. Okay, so here it is, and we'll get right to it. Is as much as there is at Lollapalooza, it is a thing that people look forward to all year long, and people come from around the world to attend it. But on the dangerous side, too, there's, I mean, what do you attribute it to? Is it the fact that it's, I mean, we were talking about it off there, it's a very long day, you know, people are imbibing, there's so many people, right? Maybe it's too crowded, but, you know, there was a lot of issues, you know, with people going to the hospital. I guess even a person died.
Oh, yes, it's well, for any city that's putting on a festival of this size, you got to take a lot into account. I mean, there's over 100,000 people a day that are coming to Lollapalooza here in Chicago, and that means extended work hours for police. The amount of safety and security you can provide can only be accounted for as far as people taking care of themselves. And if you're coming to Lollapalooza to drink and to hang out, that's all fine and dandy. But at least stay hydrated and get yourself in accordance with the safety structures that they've built. There's hydration stations all around the area. There's places you can go with first aid tents and everything. And I did read about the one person that sadly passed away. And it's just a matter of, you know, coming here and kind of playing by the rules, because at the same time, you see that there was an uptick in some of the arrests that were going on. There were some viral videos that went on where people were jumping the fence. And actually, I looked into the police blotter about how much crime had been happening. And even though it's always, you know, you're ready to have some people arrested during the festival, it's just always shocking to see. So it's sad to see that some people, you know, they went through those issues, but it's hard to maintain a 4-day festival that over 100,000 people come to in just like 2 miles of square blockage in Chicago.
Yeah, and so maybe you look at that and it just kind of goes with the territory. And I think part of it isn't the people are trying to storm the fences and jump over it is you know, supply and demand. There's a certain amount of tickets. They are kind of expensive. It's a pricey event, and you know, there's a lot of people that want to go and see it. So let's talk a little bit about the music. We talked before we got you on that it's amazing. I don't know in any other situation where you could sell a festival and almost sell it out without even announcing who's going to be there, right? There's that much trust that it's going to be a great time. There's going to be big bands. So on the music side, Mike Heidemann, so what did you think? A lot of big-time artists here.
A lot of great, great artists. You're exactly right. And this is actually one of the first years that they didn't sell it out, which was surprising. The festival had some of the greatest headliners on. We're talking Casey Musgraves, The Strokes, Ariana Grande, J Balvin, who ended up being one of the first Spanish-speaking headliners of all time here at Lollapalooza. So there was a lot of different cultures and people, and it was a very, very eclectic festival. But at the same time, you know, there's been years past when we see Metallica and Paul McCartney, huge, huge, enormous names come to the festival when people are coming out in droves. Ariana Grande performed tonight, the closing night, and even though the crowd was massive, I think nearly half of the people who were in attendance showed up and were right at that stage. But it was a little bit smaller than the crowd that you saw maybe at Chance the Rapper's homecoming, which was, I think, either last year or the year before, which looked like the entire city had come out to support him. So even though it is Chicago's mainstay festival, maybe the city of Chicago is getting a little bit oversaturated, a little bit worn out of these festivals. I mean, Pitchfork, Mambi at the Beach, Riot Fest, you know, it's a lot to take in nowadays.
That's every weekend, it seems like, too, Mike.
Right?
you know, you look up and, hey, where's all the people at? Oh, here they are. They're over here in this park, and they're over here. It's, you know, it's kind of, you need a, almost need a scorecard to keep track of all the stuff's going on.
Oh, you're telling me. Just imagine walking through them all day in 80-degree weather.
Yeah, about it.
Or pushing 90. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. You know, it's a fan favorite. People get out there, and they look forward to it, and they come and see it from the band perspective, and you get a chance to talk to a lot of the different artists over time. I remember, so 21 Pilots was one of the headliners, and they have had a meteoric rise over the last handful of years. I saw them playing, might have been Sunday afternoon at 1 in the afternoon, you know, like maybe 3 or 4 years ago or something, and it was a great concert for them. They seem super excited to be there. Is there that thought process on the band side that the, you know, for those that come here on a, you know, like the Chainsmokers or something, where they come in multiple times, and you can kind of see the crowd size as their career grows, so does the crowd, where the artists really enjoy and look forward to coming here as much as the fans.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be the case. You're sitting there and you're playing on the side stage when you're, and no one's coming out to you. And then all of a sudden you have one song released and all of a sudden you're playing the headlining stage. And 21 Pilots, wow, the heart of Columbus, they are like one of the biggest bands coming out of Ohio. To see them take the stage and just rock it was a really amazing thing. But look at Casey Musgraves. I mean, a small country singer that came out and then blew up over seemingly overnight after her album of the year win this year at the Grammys, and now playing the headlining stage. Bands like the Chainsmokers, who yes, played Perry stage many years in a row to a small audience, and now one of the biggest EDM bands there is. But I like seeing bands that are up and coming. I spoke to the band Judah and the Lion, which is an amazing band from Nashville, Tennessee, who are just three guys who just wanted to create great music. They played a side stage, but here's a band that, even though here at Lollapalooza is playing the side stage, side stages during the day, sold out two nights at the Ryman Theater in Nashville. So it's cool to see these bands grow. And I mean, who knows what the next bands are going to be. Like, there were a lot of great up-and-coming bands that I saw. I mean, Tierra Whack, one of this amazing rap artist who was performing. There's other bands like Rich the Kid, who's coming up. Dean Lewis from Australia is an amazing folk singer. And there's Gary Clark Jr., who is just he's always on the rise. One of the greatest guitar players of today. Closed out with a great Beatles song. He's going to be all over the place soon. And Sharon Van Etten played today too. So we'll see who the next big sleeper hit is for the next few years.
Well, so what do you think? Before we go to news, and then we're going to come back, we're going to talk a little bit about your interview with Cameron Crowe and also your thoughts, additional thoughts on Lollapalooza. But what's kind of the secret sauce here that makes it work? C3 is the group that runs it, based out of Austin. I know you do a lot of stuff with South by Southwest. And mm-hmm. So what is it about what they do that makes this kind of, is it just the size, the enormity of it all that makes it all kind of work so well?
Yeah, oh, the size definitely helps, and they do a lot of great work over at C3. The office is, Lollapalooza is their main go-to event, and when I spoke to the people over at C3 when I was down in Austin, went to their offices, and they said, yes, you know, we put a lot of time and focus into creating this festival and something that is worthwhile for the people. Obviously, Lollapalooza was created by Perry Farrell, and he's kind of taken it upon himself to really market this festival to young people who are growing up. So you and I, we ran into the rock bands. You know, we love seeing great, great classic music. But at the same time, now we look at Lollapalooza, and I don't know about you, but I don't know 95% of the bands that are playing.
Well, there's 200 bands. I mean, it's,
I looked at the list. It's amazing. So many bands are, you can't even fit them on one page. There's so many of them.
Right, and then some of the times I'm like reading them, I'm like, is this one band or is this like three people? And like, I can't well, decipher. Is this like hieroglyphics that I'm reading?
Well, you know, Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers. That's, I never heard of them, but maybe you want to go see them when you get a minute.
Is that a real band?
It says it right here. Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers.
I want to see it. It sounds enticing. All right. Well, here's the thing. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna send it to news. We'll have more with Mike Heidemann with his hand on the pulse of Lollapalooza. So stay tuned for that quick break. We'll be right back. 720 WGN. Easy listening. 720 WGN here, Allstate Skyline Studio. It is Dane in for Nick D until 5 a.m. Dino Tiberi to my right. Tom Hush in the booth. And on the line with us, a guy who has had his hand on the pulse of everything Lollapalooza, is our one and only Michael Heidemann. So, Mike, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back. Hey, I love that Tame Impala music bump in there. One of my favorite bands, and a really great highlight at this year's festival as well.
Yeah,
Shout out, Tom.
I knew there had to be some method to the madness right there. So, and also 312-981-7200, your most, well, either your favorite toy, like a Stretch Armstrong, and we had some people from the 724 also did a... Well, found out what was inside. They did it just by the normal kind of everyday torture method of stretching until he could stretch no more.
and then he broke apart.
Yep. And then on the dangerous toy side, a little bit of modification from the 773, they would have those bow and arrow sets with the suction cups. And you just take the suction cups off and shoot blunt sticks at your
friends. Shoot them up in a crowd and then watch everyone scatter and see who gets hit.
Yeah, from the danger side. So, Mike, here's the thing, too, is you cover not only the music side of things, and you talk to a lot of the different bands, and is there something that you could think, before we get into some of the movies, and Cameron Crowe, and we'll have Blake coming on it, too, are there things that you would suggest as a guy who's covered so much of it that Lollapalooza could do, should do? We had a listener suggest that they should make some free tickets available, maybe as an incentive for students who do really well, or I can't read it from here, but maybe somebody maybe who did a good job on work release, right?
Turning your life around. Perfect attendance.
Yeah, perfect attendance. Yeah,
good grades.
I mean, are there overall
good citizen.
Are there things that they can build into it so the headlines are, you know, aren't just like, hey, you know, people storming the gates,
jumping
going
over
to the
fences.
Hospital. Yeah, stuff like that.
No, there is a great, great community aspect to Lollapalooza, and that's why it's such a Chicago staple, and that's why people flock to it. And in fact, if you volunteer for the festival, you get in for free. So if you're there to help out and create some buzz about it and just do some good work for your community, they do give you a free ticket. There's also the Music Cares program from the Grammys that provides free tickets and some support for people who would want to look into Lollapalooza as well. But I agree with you. Maybe some accelerated reader program would be an amazing touch to get people more involved with Lollapalooza. But at the same time, I mean, if you're doing really well for your community and you're going to Lollapalooza, the crowd kind of picks itself. So if there's a band you really want to see, maybe there could be, you know, an aspect of doing well in school or you know, putting in some volunteer service. But at the same time, you're going to be going there putting on glitter and dancing to your favorite band. So
if you could spell Lollapalooza, you get a free shot at a lottery ticket.
I like it, though, to build in the higher purpose to it. You know, and Mike, I'd nominate you. I'd stuff the suggestion box for the Minister of Access for it. You know, you can go ahead and kind of be a part of that.
Yeah, I'm gonna text Lori Lightfoot after this interview and then see if she wants to jump in on this too.
Yeah. Okay. So now here's the other thing, and I know that that Tom had mentioned. So you got an opportunity to interview Cameron Crowe, you know, who has been part of some of our favorite movies and of course all that stuff with Rolling Stone. So tell us a little bit about it. I know you wanted to share that with the listeners as well.
Absolutely. That was one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done. You know, I'm a big music guy. I love speaking about it, and getting the chance to talk to Cameron Crowe was one of the most amazing highlights of my life. In fact, when I approached the interview, he's putting out a new documentary called David Crosby, Remember My Name, about the legendary musician David Crosby. And I had approached them saying, hey, can I get David Crosby? Not even thinking that Cameron Crowe would even be an option, but they said, sorry, we can't get you David. You know, he's kind of busy. Can we get you Cameron? And I'm like, what? I like fell back in my seat because as everybody knows, or as most people know, that's one of the biggest music fans, music lovers of all time. The guy is the youngest journalist ever for the Rolling Stones, the magazine. So Rolling Stone magazine. It's late. But he's an amazing music journalist. He still listens to great music. And, I mean, writing Almost Famous, it was a total pleasure to speak to him. Totally cool.
So how did you do it? Because, right, you only have so much time, however much time that you may have with him, but you could do an entire interview or two or three just on the directing and on the movie side of things, and, of course, on the music side. How did you decide what to do?
That's interesting. interesting you bring that up, because that's what I was going with throughout the day. I was like, how do I speak to him? Because I have so many questions for him, and I just want to ask all music based questions or movie. I don't know which approach I should take, but the interview lent itself to the movie that he was putting out, because David Crosby is such an interesting character. So we were able to talk about the connection of his movies with these interesting characters that he has created. I mean, Spicoli, you know, the actor in Almost Famous, who ended up, you know, it was just basically a self biography, basically, of his life. So leading it towards that and kind of wrapping around back into music was pretty cool. So the main things that I really wanted to ask him, though, to answer your question, were, how did you get these interviews when you were so young? What music inspired you, and what's your strategy to kind of let these musicians guard down? Because he speaks to such legendary rock stars like David Crosby, you know, Mick Jagger, all these great names. How do you get them to trust you and bring you on tour? So the interview kind of surrounded those kind of questions.
Oh, the experience had to be great. And then you look on the movie side of it, he's always kind of woven some just iconic soundtracks and music into those great stories as well. And so what a cool interview. And so where can people, do you have it up yet? Is it available at WGNRadio.com for people to listen to?
Yeah, you can find it on WGNRadio.com. You can just search Michael Heidemann or Sound Sessions on the site. And you can also find it anywhere you find your favorite podcasts on iTunes as well. Just search Sound Sessions. And it was a total pleasure. And hearing that Tom Hush, one of the greatest minds in movies, was a fan of this interview, that was another highlight of my life.
Now here, last question, very last question, other than where we can find, of course, WGNRadio.com for Sound Sessions, all the different things that you do when bands come in, Mike Heidemann talks to them, but also just the commitment of a Tom Hush. He said if there was a band that he really liked and appreciated, let's say ZZ Top, right, and he was going to be the tribute guy, he would grow the beard or do whatever he could to physically resemble the artist that he admired. And so, Mike, which artist would you do that for? Let's say you had the ability to sound or play like anyone, and you had a band that you like, which artist would you most like to physically transform into?
Physically embody any music artist of the last 1,000 years?
Yeah. And then perform as a tribute artist for them.
Yeah. Two-pronged attack there, Mike.
That is a great, great question. Well, it'd have to be like a solo artist, because I'd want all the attention on me. So let's think here. How about like Ray Charles?
Oh, that's awesome. No, that's a serious commitment. Just based on what I'm in my mind, I'm seeing you, Mike Heidemann, and I'm also seeing Ray Charles, and that's quite a transformation.
Yeah.
Well, that amazing voice of his, like, I've been really into just unique voices lately, and just having that, just going, sweet honey, it would be amazing. And, Jamie Foxx could later play me in a movie. It'd be really fun.
Have you ever done any Ray Charles in your when you're out performing music?
Oh, you mean when I'm performing every single Saturday at Bill's Bar and Burger on 30 East Hubbard Street and Hubbard and Safeway by the House of Blues?
Now we're talking.
Not lately, but I should incorporate a lot more blues into there. I think that'd be a lot of fun for the audience.
I think after this segment, that's what people are going to be asking for. The crowd's going to be clamoring.
That's right. They're going to want to hear some
Georgia
Burns.
We're going to let you get some rest, and we'll hear you, I'm sure, on the Cochran Show in just a handful of hours. And can't thank you enough for everything that you're doing, not only going and sharing Lollapalooza, and then, of course, sharing it with the listener here on the show tonight.
Dane, Dino, Tom, it was great talking to you. One of my favorite shows. I hope to talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks, Mike.